Hi, I'm Nancy and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Nancy.
And what does that mean? Step one, I'm powerless over alcohol. Part one of step one. I have no power, choice, or control over once I put a drink in me, what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen, you know, but I have no power to stop. I have no choice in the matter. I cannot just say no. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, just say no. It's really mind-blowing that people actually say, just say no. You know, I wouldn't need this program if I could just say no. I don't have a shut-off button. I don't have a no button. You know, the word no wasn't part of my vocabulary. Think it through. I'll give you an example of what my thinking it through looks like. If I think the drink through, I'm 30 years old. I'm 40 years old. I'm decked out. I'm looking hot. I'm in a fabulous, fabulous bar. I have the pick of the litter. And there are no negative consequences whatsoever. That's me thinking it through, because I don't think it through to really what's going to happen. I stop there. And I say, okay. That's a great night. You know, that's great. Let's go. So all those sayings, you know, just don't work if you're anything like me. You know, I'm a real alcoholic. I obsess about drinking. When I'm not drinking, when I'm drinking, I do not stop on my own accord. I'm thrown out, I'm passed out, I'm, you know, I just never, ever, ever say that's enough. Never. I go in the bathroom, I puke so that I can come out and drink again. That's my experience. That's my truth. You know. My life is unmanageable. My life was unmanageable, although I thought it was great. You know, looking back, this is all in hindsight, because believe me, I did not realize any of this prior to having a spiritual awakening. My life was unmanageable. I had a husband who hated me. He went from loving me to hating me like this. He had an inventory of me. He had an inventory of all the times that I did things that he couldn't stand. We slept in separate bedrooms. We spoke through email. It was quite unmanageable, you know. Came to, you know, I believe all these steps set me up for the next step. That's just my way of looking at it. I cannot do step two without step one. Why would I do step one? And I also believe I have to have a strong step one to continue. And I did not have a strong step one. It was by the grace of God that I continued, even though I didn't. I did not think I was an alcoholic. I could not say those words. I was in detox, and I remember raising my hand and saying, "Hi, I'm Nancy. I don't know what the hell I am, but I'm here." You know, I don't know how I didn't know. You had to be completely deaf, dumb, and blind to not know that this person was alcoholic. But, you know, when it comes to me, I cannot accurately self-appraise. So my coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore me to sanity. Again, didn't think I was insane, that I was insane, you know, had no, I was not any of it. You were all of this, I was not. I just crashed my car 3 times in 2 months, and that was my problem. But I know now that, you know, step one tells me I'm powerless, that's the problem. Step two tells me there's a solution, the power. Step three, I make a decision to try to find this solution, and the rest of the steps lead me to finding this God that I had no use of, didn't use him in my life at all. I was really not a God person. I was not a hypocrite. I never even prayed in those times of trouble. God was not a part of me at all. So it is a miracle, the two things. I do not drink, I do not think about drinking, and I am such a God-conscious person today. It is the complete opposite of what I was. And how it works, it talks about, we tell in a general way, what we were like, what happened, and what we are like now. So what I was like before God, before my, you know, when I ran the show on my will, what happened, my spiritual journey, and what I'm like now that I have had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And it's mind-blowing to me It's mind-blowing to me what I was like and what I'm like now, because I did not think I had to change at all. I thought you all had to change. I understood that you had to change. But like I said, I just had to stop driving when I was in a blackout. That's all I had to do. And I really believe, I know it's funny, but I really thought that. So it is miraculous what, you know, the difference. It's just, I don't know how, you know, I was going to say, I don't know how it happened. I do know how it happened, but. Okay, so I had to make this decision to turn my life over to this care of the God that I did not understand, didn't want to understand, had no use of whatsoever, but I was willing. I did have the gift of willingness, and I did have the gift of, I was willing to do everything. And for me, I had to be willing. Every step is willing. I had to be willing to accept now that I was a little bit insane and a little bit alcoholic. I had to be willing to believe that a power greater than myself could help me. I had to be willing to make the decision to try it. I had to be willing now to go on with the action needed to get the result. So it came to step four. I made the searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, where I did finally learn the truth about me. I did learn that my only problem was not crashing the car. I did learn that it was not only your fault. I learned the truth about me, which was key for me, because seriously, I really thought I was a nice person who drank a little too much for you. I didn't drink too much for me. I loved drinking a lot. I loved bumping into walls. I loved the whole thing. Everything, I loved it. I was totally delusional about my life. I saw nothing wrong with me whatsoever. So this inventory was vital, vital for the change that had to happen in me. Because before that, I did not think I was a liar, cheat, and a thief. And that's what it was. I had very pretty names to those words. I could pretty up those words. And I had to say those words. I am a liar, a cheat, and a thief. Those are drastic measures. I had to really say that and really believe it. Because if I say I'm a commodities broker, like I told you last week, that sounds great. I have a product that you want, and you have money that I want. And that, to me, is a commodities broker, you know. But I had to really use the real words that I truly was. Because, you know, I had to admit it to God. Well, God was there. God knew everything. But I had to actually say them to God. You know, I can't just assume. I liked actually talking to God. God, I did, you know. I had to tell another human being because, like I said before, I cannot accurately self-appraise. I rationalize and justify everything I did. And when I do that, everything I did was fine. Everything I did was great. And everything you did was horrible and terrible. So I need another person to help point that out, that no, you know. And it worked for me. It worked. I found out who I really was. You know, if I'm nice 90% of the time and I'm not nice 10% of the time, guess what? I'm not a nice person. My goal is to be nice all the time. My goal. I didn't say I am, but my goal is to be nice all of the time so that I can say I'm a nice person. If I'm stealing one thing a year, I'm a thief. I'm still a thief. I have to stop, you know, I have to. So this inventory helped me to find out what I had to get rid of. You know, it doesn't show me, I don't have to get rid of the nice things I do. I have to uncover the horrible things that I do, the negative things I do, so that I can get rid of those. And when I get rid of those, they're replaced. I have to replace them with the opposite. I was entirely ready to have these defects of character removed once I saw them. Once I saw them, my reaction was this: oh, I am really a wretched person. You know, I don't want to be like that, which was another vital thing because I needed to find them totally objectionable, or else why am I going to change? I am not going to want to change that which I don't think needs changing, right? So, and lucky for me, I did find these things really horribly objectionable. But God is not going to wave the magic wand. God does for me, this is my experience, what I can't do. what I can't do for myself. But things that I can do, he expects me to do. I have to take certain actions. If I'm a thief, I have to stop, you know, step six. I have to not do what I want to do. You know, I wanted easy money. I wanted easy money. I did not want to have to go out from 9 to 5 and work 40 hours a week like the rest of you. I wanted some quick way to make easy money. But those things were all illegal, you know. I had to not do that. I have to not do that. So it's not like he's going to just say, okay, and I'm going to be, you know, Lily White. I have to do certain things and not do the things I want to do. And then in seven, now we're up to seven, I have to humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. So, you know, that's, I ask every morning, and I don't say anything that I don't do. I will not leave my bed without asking to remove my shortcomings, my character defects. Because like I was talking to someone before, if I don't do that, you're getting Nancy up here. You're getting old Nancy, original Nancy, selfish and self-centered and dishonest and fearful. And that's what you're going to get. And I can't be helpful to you if that's who you get. So the people that I help better hope that I do what I say I do every day, you know. So I do. I do. I wouldn't think of it. I think of this as gambling with my life. I would not gamble with my life anymore. I wouldn't think of it. When I say I never leave without praying in the morning, upon awakening, it is my daily discipline, and it means when my eyelids open, I am in prayer, because I can't afford not to. I can't afford. I do know what will happen. I do know what will happen, and I don't care about. I'm not talking about drinking and driving. I'm talking about immediately. I will not care about any of you. That's the first thing that happens, and after that, all bets are off. We know the rest of the story. But that's the worst thing that will happen. I will not care. You know, so I will not gamble with that anymore, you know. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Okay. When I looked at this from the beginning, I didn't care about 4, I didn't care about 5, I cared about 9. You know, 9. I was not doing that. Not doing that. And of course, someone said, wait, don't worry about it yet. Don't worry about it yet. By the time I got to this, I was willing. I was willing. I had to be willing because I had to do this. So I made a list. Now, again, it's so important. Sponsorship is so important because although I had someone who had a lot of years sobriety, looking back, I remember raising my hand and saying, I don't have the list, my step 8 list from step 4. Because step 4 list, I made a list of the people that I resented. And nobody came up to me and said, but didn't you do a list of the harms done others? I evidently hadn't done a list of harms done others. I just did the harms that they did to me, you know? So I really had to, you know, think about this some more. Someone else had to help me with this because I had to make a list of harms that I did to others. Sexual harms and harms other than sexual, which was the stealing and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I had to be willing to make amends to these people. And again, sponsorship is key because I got wrong information. I told this story a long time ago in this group about a financial amends. I was able to manipulate this person, sponsor, and I said, you know, I stole from my job, and if I do this, I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to this and that and that, and what do I do? And she gave me a pass on that. She gave me a pass on that. And what I did was, one of the doctors I worked for adopted a child, and so I adopted one of those children in the foreign countries, you know, how you could do that, and they send you a picture, and you send money every month, and you have an adopted kid. And I said, oh, I'm going to do this to make my financial amends to the doctor in the office that I stole from. And I told myself that was good. Good, all right, I'm good. Good, did that financial amends, you know. And as time went by, fortunately, I was willing to grow along spiritual lines, and somewhere along the line, I wrote them a letter, you know, telling them what I did. On a spiritual journey, I have to make amends for the wrongs. I adopted a kid in your name, you know, in your honor, and again, thought I was good to go. This is good. This is good. And then thankfully, somewhere along the line, I said, no, they do not care about the adopted kid in India or wherever it was, okay? They want their money back. They want their money back. You know, I didn't want to give them the money back. I didn't want to give them my money. But you know what? It's not my money. I didn't want to give them money that I took from them. I mean, so eventually I wrote a check and sent it to them. You know, I wrote another letter with the check. I didn't write my return address. I didn't want any, you know, it wasn't for what they were going to tell me how great I was and how wonderful I was, because I wasn't. I wasn't. But I took care of that. So it's really, my point is that good sponsorship is good, because that original person who told me, yeah, okay, you don't have to do that. No, I had to do that. I did have to do that. So I was willing to make, you know, don't forget, I made this list with the memory and the mind of a person with a few months sober. And so when they say, more will be revealed, although I hated that expression, more will be revealed. More was revealed to me. I would bump into people, and they go, oh, God, they weren't even on my list. And I wasn't nice to them. So these are the things, this was my experience, what would happen. It wasn't that I left them off on purpose. It just didn't even dawn on me that those people should be on it. Of course, the one I wanted to go to first, I know we all have the same experience, is the boyfriend that I wanted to see again. And thank God the sponsor was good with that. She said, no, you stay away. You stay away from that person. And God revealed to me, I think I was 5 years sober, God revealed to me that this was the time that you can make amends. And I made amends to the wife, because the wife did know. It's not one of those experiences where the wife didn't know. The wife did know. And I was able to make amends to her as well. We have to be willing. A couple of years ago, now I'm going to be sober 12 years. Only a couple of years ago, three guys came to my mind. Now, I'm telling you without going into detail, I harmed these guys. The most, you could put every person on my list and add it together. It wasn't anywhere near the harm that I did to these guys. And I was horrified how they weren't even on my list. And I searched diligently. You know, now we have Facebook and Google and all this. And there's no, really, you can find them. You can find them. And I went into high schools and contacted the high school, and I'm trying to find this, and I did get in touch with all three of them. And my experiences with them, I did not have any negative experiences, really. I mean, I really didn't. These three experiences were ones where when I got off the phone, I was crying and went, thank you, God. It was the most beautiful experience. Of course, I have to tell you that all these guys said, oh, don't worry about it. You were a fun chick, and, you know, it was okay. You know, of course, it's, you know, 40 years later, and they've gotten over Nancy, you know. I'm sure they found something a lot better to spend the rest of their life with. So, but that was the response I got. It was very, very, very moving experiences with these men. My mother was deceased at that time, and you know, I went from being a fabulous little girl who a mother was very proud of to a mother's nightmare in an instant. My mother didn't know what hit her. She didn't know what hit her. Any parent, if they have a daughter, can picture the things that they would really not want their daughters to be doing, and those were the things that I hit my parents with. So I went from great, I didn't even like slowly, you know, slowly become a little bad. No, I went from great to that, and it was horrifying. And Never thought for a minute about my parents. It was all about me. And so now my mother was deceased, and I did do what a lot of people talk about. I went to the grave with a letter and expressed my remorse and my regrets. And I'm good with that, you know. So I'm a person who believes that I am never finished with my ninth step because of what I just told you, that after years, people came to my mind. So at this moment, I am done with my ninth step as far as I know. But I know that more will be revealed. I know that somewhere down the road, someone's going to appear in front of me, or the thought's going to come to my mind. And I know that I am willing to correct whatever needs to be corrected. But if you, something to consider, if you are sitting here thinking you went through your 12 steps, knowing that you have someone on your ninth step list that you have not done, that's something to consider. You know, if I'm aware of it and I'm able to do it, I also believe that God will tell me when the proper timing is. I personally don't do the now, maybe, and never, because it is not my decision. It is not my decision who I owe an amends to. You know, that's God's decision. Because if it's up to me, guess what? I don't owe one to anybody. Left to me, I don't owe anybody an amends. You know, so I don't believe in that. I do believe, you know, okay, there are ones that you, as a newcomer, ones that are easier than not. But it's the ones that God sent. When those people appeared in front of me in a parking lot in the bank, and I went, oh my God, they weren't even on my list. You know, it was an ex-mother-in-law, an ex-sister-in-law. That was the time. They weren't even on my list either. It's amazing. It's amazing what the mind does and doesn't do. 7, 8, 9. Of course, the ones that, you know, except when to do so would injure them or others. We don't go to the spouse and tell them, hello, you know, just want you to know that I was out with your husband the other night, you know. Not a good idea to hurt others. You know, I don't, this process is for my recovery. It is for me. It will free them perhaps also. When I go and make an amends, it perhaps is going to make the other person free as well. But we are doing this for our recovery. But my rule of thumb is it going to harm them? Is it going to make them feel worse or better when I tell them what I did? And if it's going to make them feel worse, I do not do it for me just to feel better. For me to feel better. I'll have to find another means of freedom from that one for that. I cannot hurt them any more than I did. Because sometimes they didn't know. A lot of these people on my list didn't know what I did. You know, I just knew and God knew. So I have to do that in another way, because otherwise I'm going to have to make another amends for hurting them again, you know. And a lot of my stuff, like I said, I came in late in life. I came in very late in life. So a lot of this stuff is from 40 years ago. The things with the guys was from 40 years ago. You know, so, yeah, really. I told you that was just my thinking it through that makes me 30 or 40. That's not the reality. So I think that's about it tonight for 7, 8, and 9.